This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Recent studies raise questions about whether the deaths of some people over the age of 65 might be brought on by stresses that occur in surgery. About 10 million seniors a year undergo general anesthesia. Their risk of dying during surgery or immediately after is very low, less than 1%. But around 9% will die within a year. NPR's Richard Knox has this report.
About 30 leading anesthesiologists, surgeons, basic scientists, and medical safety experts gathered recently in Boston to sift through some disturbing reports. Dr. David Gaba of Stanford University organized the conference to address an important new question.
That there are things that can happen to patients during their operation and anesthesia, or in the few days around that, that can actually lead to deaths occurring 1 or even 2 years later.
If this is correct, and doctors can do something about it, the impact would be enormous.
We have some estimates that on the order perhaps of 50,000 deaths per year or so could be related to some of these phenomena.
50,000 possibly preventable deaths. But it's hard to tease out any long-term effect of anesthesia and surgery. Elderly patients seem most susceptible, and older patients often have multiple diseases. Those having surgery had at least one that was serious enough to require an operation in the first place. One of the first clues that anesthesia might be involved comes from a study of nearly 1,000 patients at Duke University. The results took its authors by surprise.
It was actually shocking to me. I did not believe the data when I got it out.
Anesthesiologist Terry Monk led the Duke study. Two things stood out. Patients who had an episode of very low blood pressure during the operation had a higher risk of dying in the year after surgery.
For every minute that the patient's systolic blood pressure was less than 80, there was a 4% increase risk of death in the next year.
Systolic being the higher number in a blood pressure reading. Patients also had a strikingly higher risk if they fell below a recommended level on a brainwave test that measures the depth of anesthesia, how deeply they're asleep during the operation.
For every hour the patient was maintained less than the recommended level, there was a 24% increase in the risk of dying in the first year.
Now, this is the controversial part, because the data indicating a risk come from a new device that's not in common use. The machine that measures depth of anesthesia is being marketed as a cost-saving tool. That's because if patients don't go too deeply asleep, they wake up more quickly and get out of the recovery room faster. Also, before now, nobody's really studied the long-term biological effects of deeper anesthesia. But Swedish researchers have recently confirmed the Duke results in a larger study that's still unpublished. That's leading Monk and others to search for the reason why.
Is there a way that too deep a level of anesthetic may alter the stress response or the inflammatory response?
There are some reasons to think so. One recent study found that giving patients a blood pressure drug called clonidine for only 4 days following surgery reduced deaths a year later by 55%. Other drugs called beta blockers and statins had a similar effect. Dr. Stefan Myler of the Medical College of Georgia says there's a common theme. While doctors use these drugs to lower blood pressure, heart rate, or cholesterol, all of them also reduce inflammation.
Inflammation or modulation of the immune system during the surgical experience might be linked to some of these complications. And by treating patients with anti-inflammatory medications, we may have a chance to either postpone or to avoid complications after surgery.
Myler points out evidence is growing that chronic inflammation contributes to heart attacks and to cancer growth, which cause most of the deaths in post-surgical patients. But a link between inflammation and anesthesia or surgery is still hypothetical. Experts at the Boston meeting concluded it's going to take a lot more research to prove it. Meanwhile, they stress that nobody, young or old, should avoid necessary surgery. Richard Knox, NPR News, Boston.